That's right. Your ears do not deceive you. I am back. 108. I'm back and I can't talk already. 185th installment, Parish of the Patriots. I'm glad to be back. Glad to have all of you back here. As you probably guessed, I did have my kidney surgery. I did a part of my kidney removed to get rid of a tumor. And that's why we didn't get a show last week. I think it's pretty excusable. And excusable absence, and I'm operating today without pain meds so that I'm not, you know, any kind of foggy, groggy headedness, you know. So I'm sitting here with basically 5 puncture wounds in my abdomen as if someone stabbed me and a part of my kidney gone. And I'm doing that without pain medicine just so we can have the best show possible. It's like I'm putting forward the excuses now. If the show kind of sucks, that's why. No, but it's going to be a good show. I am glad to have y'all here, and thank you for your prayers and your support and you continued, you know, we weren't here last week, for coming back around this week and rejoining us. So, you know, not just giving up, not forgetting we're here. I was back on, actually. This is, you know, because my initial return here was last Friday. I managed to get back on Friday for the Daily Nationalist with Finn. I'll be honest, I wasn't on my A game. You know, we finished recording that show, wasn't really that happy with it. But like I say, I mean, it's just getting back in the groove, and it's not like I'm 100% pain-free here, you know, operating on this stuff. So bear with me. I do plan to have a great show. That's always the intention. We will, of course, as always, we'll have our Christian-specific message later on the show. Roughly the halfway mark is what we shoot for. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But we will be having that, as always, and the show goes on, just like nothing's ever changed. You know, we got 2 weeks of listener supporter mailbag to go through, so we're gonna rock and roll with this. Stay on board, because, of course, we got a lot of things going on, a lot of things that have been happening last few weeks and to visit about. So without further ado, let's get into listener supporter mailbag. I guess I should mention, see, this is the whole pain, and I've been on pain meds and stuff like that. See, I'm off my game. I'm off my routine. Those of you who want to financially support the show, if you get something out of the show, I do ask that, you know, throw a few shekels my way. Just follow the description page here on Radio Albion. I've got snail mail, easiest thing in the world to do. Got Bitcoin, Monero, got email address down there for your notes. And if you've got a different cryptocurrency, it's virtually guaranteed I can give you an address for that. So don't hesitate. Drop me a note. I have no pride. I'll take your Doge coins or whatever the heck. You know, whatever the heck else. So, you know, please, it is very much appreciated. It makes a big difference. Right now, I'm very much grounded on what I can do. I'm not even supposed to lift anything. I'm already starting to violate that, by the way, because it's the way I roll. Anyway, yeah, as I said, listener supporter mailbag. Dear Grandpa, thank you for all you do. Be well. God bless. And that's from Nick. Really appreciate it. Like I say, it's always good. It's always good to hear from all y'all, because I did. I snuck into the listener supporter mailbag while I was writhing around in pain last weekend right after my surgery. And it's like, you know, I have pre-read some of the notes. Support received from Tony. Very much appreciated, Tony. No note in there. So I just wanted to let you know it came this way. GPD, hope this donation helps. There's a saying or scripture, I don't know, that God has the sunshine on the wicked and the just. Something like that. Could you elaborate on this? And that's from Mr. T. And yeah, I probably should have shoved this into the Christian specific segment, but I kind of already have something lined up for that. The easiest way to think of this, because that saying, a lot of people equate that to God treats everybody the same. In other words, God views people equally, but that's not correct. The way to think of it is, we exist, of course, in time. Say you had 2 men that were born at the exact same time on the exact same day. Both were allotted 70 years of life, and both were to die at the exact same time on the exact same day. So there's basically, you got 2 guys and they're going to be living parallel lives. Now, one man will go on to live a more or less righteous life, while the other man will go on to live in wickedness and commit evil and sin. And at the end of it, that run in time, both will die, and their time here will be over. Now, God has given them, the 70 years allotted in time. God gave both of them. God created the 70-year allotment that they're existing in. one way or the other, for both the wicked man and the righteous man. That allotment of time exists, and they both exist in it at the same time, regardless of how they're living their life. The fact that God created the time and they're existing in it, you know, has nothing to do with one man is righteous and the other is wicked. It's just to make the point that God created the time that they're both existing in. And like I say, it's a shame because too many people have read that and they think that that somehow means like God loves both of them equally, you know, and God's going to bless the wicked man and view the wicked man the same, and, you know, the evil man the same as the righteous man. And that's bullshit. It's just saying that he created the time that people exist in. You know, he created it, and they both exist in the same allotted portion. I hope that makes sense. If not, we'll elaborate on it some more. Grandpa, about a month behind on my shows, but I will catch up. Thank you for continuing to crank out fantastic content, and I hope your health is as good as can be under circumstances. That's from Andy. Well, I did you a favor, Andy. It'll be easier to catch up because we did miss the show last week. This show, just to help you get caught up. Greetings, Grandpa Dan. I've occasionally wondered what happened to Grandpa Lampshade in the big censorship following Charlottesville, etc. After reading an article in the American Free Press about Radio Albion, now I know. As you survey the congregation from your pulpit, I'll be on the boomer pew in the back for the foreseeable future. Cheers, and that's from Dinger. And we got a full boomer pew. I'm not a big boomer basher. Some people say I am, and sometimes I do make fun of boomers, and I'll get this angry, like, boomer hate mail, you know. But no, we have a large boomer part of our congregation. I mean, you're welcome here. I'm glad you found us. Glad you found us. Hope you're going to get something out of it. You know, hope you continue to get something out of it. I say this often because it's true. You know, I'm really proud of what we've made out of this show. You know, I remember when we started the parish and I couldn't figure out. I mean, I had this idea in my head of where I wanted to go. I wanted this to become something serious. You know, some more were not just, I mean, yes, I laugh. I make jokes. That's what I do. I look at life in a humorous way. But I mean, I wanted to feel like we were building on something. You know, I mean, yes, I want people to listen to this show and be entertained and have a good time and laugh. And you know, because we're living in just disastrous times. You know, I want people to, you know, to come away and to be entertained. You know, but at the same time, when they finish listening to the show, you know, I'd like for there to be something in there. I wanted for there to be something in there where people felt like, you know, I need to think about this and maybe this will make my life a little bit better. And it was hard. It was hard to make the show, you know, to keep building the show and figuring out and tweaking things and changing things and doing things a little different. Really proud. I'm really happy with what we've managed to do with it. And, you know, and I say we because, you know, if y'all weren't listening, y'all are the congregation. I mean, if y'all weren't here tuning in, you know, if I asked Sven, hey, how many people downloaded the show this past week? And he's like, zero. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody's listening to your crap. There'd be no point. There'd be no point. There would be nothing built. Y'all listening is every bit a part of what's been built here is me talking. It all has to go hand in hand. Grandpa, thanks for the concern about no letter in my last mailing. Everything's fine. I've just been real busy. Hope the kidney surgery turns out okay. All the best. And that's from Jackie. And I did get two from you, Jackie. So I did get both of them just to let you know. And as always, like I always say, it is much appreciated. I say that to the point I just beat it to death, but it really, you know, it makes a difference. I put it all together, just a few bucks from everybody, and I can put these things together and it adds up and it makes a big difference. Like I said, especially right now, I'm very limited on what I can do. And I'm going to wind up just doing things I'm not supposed to a little early, you know. They're like, don't lift anything over 10 pounds. I've already blown through that. It's like, I just be careful how I lift it. I'm just lifting it with my arm. I'm not tensing up my abdominal muscles. But anyway, yeah, because I can't sit around the house. That drives me crazy, you know. I mean, I don't mind resting. I think a body needs to be able to rest and just do their thing, you know. But I can't just sit. I mean, there's only so many news articles you can read, you know, there's only so much anime, only so much anime you can watch. And then you're bored with that. And it's like, man, I got to be doing something. You know, if I'm not doing something, I have the ability to relax and enjoy and take downtime. But At the same time, if I don't accomplish anything, it really, really, really bothers me. Even if I'm in so much pain that I can't accomplish something, which is a weird thing, you know. Anyway, that's it for the listener supporter mailbag. It's always good, like I say, it's always good to hear from you. Lots of stuff, of course, been going on over the last couple of weeks. I've had plenty of opportunity to sit around, read, and keep up with it because I haven't been able to do a whole lot else. Memphis is having a rough PR time. You know, they're going to pull any commercials they might be airing across the country. You know, take your next vacation in Memphis. maybe not. You know, Memphis is a shithole. I told people for years because I've been through Memphis. You notice I say through, not to, because you don't stop in Memphis. I tell people all the time. Like somebody would be telling me they're traveling and then they tell me how they're, you know, what route they're taking. And it's like, if it goes through Memphis, I'll tell people, I tell people, I'm like, make sure you have fuel. You know, you've eaten, you've hit your bathroom breaks before Memphis, or you can wait to the other side. You don't stop in Memphis. It's horrible. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how to explain. It's just like driving through, you know, Benghazi or some shit. I mean, it's an absolute shithole. You don't stop there. Don't stop there for gas. Don't stop there to grab a chicken sandwich. You just stay on the interstate and just stay going through there. Now, of course, the big story, at the beginning was this white woman went out to jog in her, shorts and whatnot at 4:30 in the morning in Memphis and thought this was a good idea. I mean, before any kind of suspect was apprehended, I already knew what happened. It's Memphis. But then they catch the guy. I'm not trying to like make light of somebody being brutally killed. I'm really not. You know, I'm really not. But it's still, what people do is funny because what's funny is human nature. Because, okay, so she goes out for a jogging and just as, you know, as soon as I read the story, they were like, oh, this missing jogger, what could have happened? And I'm like, well, let's see, it's Memphis. She went out in her booty shorts jogging at 4:30 in the morning and disappeared. Well, you know, somebody seen her and was like, I'm going to get the white woman my dick and you can guess the rest. Now, they arrested this guy and they let out a few details and it basically lined up with what I said. And on the news sites, it allowed comments. So, you know, this is before they got into any kind of other real details. You just had the bare, you know, details of what had happened. But anyway, on the news sites, it did allow comments on this. What I found funny was people's comments. You know, because all of these people were trying to turn this into like some kind of 48 hours murder mystery, you know, like some Agatha Christie novel of what could have happened. Seriously, people trying to turn this into like Agatha Christie, like, oh, there has to be more here than what we're seeing. And like, what? What more do you think there is? Well, they need to be looking into the husband. He probably, what? She just happened to be out and these guys just happened to be there. I don't think so. Internet Sherlock Holmes says there's got to be more going on here. I bet the husband was set to inherit a lot of money, and perhaps he hired these good boys who otherwise would not do anything, and had her offed so as to get his hands on the inheritance or some other gibberish. Now, what's funny is human nature does this because people want to believe if you can create this convoluted set of circumstances that this happened, then people can say in their minds, they say in their subconscious, they tell themselves, this wouldn't happen to me. That's why people do this, by the way. You know, this means it wouldn't happen to me. Because if you view the story in the reality, she went out for a jog at 4:30 in the morning, and by her bad luck, she happened to be driving by. Boom, 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 boom. Yo, look over there. I'm fixing to get the white women's. And that's all there is to it. Then people have to accept that that could have happened to me. And people don't want to accept that could have happened to me. So they want to turn it into an Agatha Christie novel. Because if there's all these complicated twists and turns and the husband hired the good boys who wouldn't have otherwise done anything, and because the family was plotting because they wanted her part of the inheritance or whatever the hell else, then you see, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I could go out and jog at Memphis at 4 a.m. without worrying. But when reality says, man, this could happen to anybody, she just happened to come across, boom, 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 yo. Yeah, then it could happen to me. People don't want to believe that. Don't want to believe. It could happen to anybody. I'm not going to beat up on and make fun of the dead. I'm not. Y'all sitting there going, he's fixing to. He said it. That means he's fixing to do it. But I will say this, but maybe I am. You know, because when people say but, that usually means that now they're fixing to actually go on and say what they think. No, but I really, you have to wonder. I've just been through Memphis several times in my life. And I understand. I drive through it and I'm like, this place is a shithole. I'm not stopping here. I'll hold it and go to the bathroom on the other side somewhere. I'm not stopping anywhere in this place. And you have to wonder how somebody, you know, lives there in this shithole and decides it's a good idea to go out at 4:30 in the morning and take a jog. I mean, why would you think that? I mean, seriously, why? You know, she obviously wasn't living behind, like, you know, some heavy security gated community or anything. It's just a good lesson, I think, a lesson of a warning for people, because, you know, it's probably unfair to say, you know, if, you know, because again, this person's dead, they lost their life, and, you know, there's, but it's, I guess you can't 100% know, but come on, you know, like, if you were to run into this woman, like, say, 2 days before, if I'd run into this woman and had a conversation and said, you know, you say you like to go out jogging and stuff. This place is full of blacks. You don't need to be doing that because, you know, bad things could happen to you. She probably would have berated me or you or whoever was telling her this and called you racist and evil and oh my gosh, and went on a virtue signal, maybe even put up a TikTok video about, oh my, OMG, I ran into this racist today. Now, I mean, that's not sit there and say, oh, I don't care that she died. Someone lost their life. That's always, you know, it's a bad thing. But, you know, the point I'm making here is that, look, no matter what kind of delusional bubble you create for yourself, reality is always there waiting to crash in on it. Boy, you always want to deal with truth. You always want to try to find the truth and find reality, even if it's unpleasant, even if it's what you don't want to hear. Because better at least be somewhat prepared for it. If she had been open to reality, if she'd been open to the truth, she wouldn't have been going out in Memphis at 4:30 in the morning. She would have been talking to her husband about taking their kids and getting out of that shithole. Wouldn't have been worried about virtue signaling about racism or whatever the hell else. Memphis, like I said, Memphis stayed in the news. Then we had this shooting. It's a random shoot. Of course, the media is not mentioning the fact that it seems like all the people this guy shot were white people. Don't have to say, because we've had plenty of examples of what happens when the races are reversed to the point that it just seems nonsensical to even bring it up. We know what the media is going to do. You know, there's a white shooter and he's targeting innocent African Americans. The guy going around shooting random white people now. You know, things, I don't know. You know. What else can you say to that? I mean, things continue to go downhill. There was another video that surfaced of these blacks talking about going around shooting random white people. Doesn't seem like this diversity is strengthening us very much. You know, I mean, really, it doesn't seem like it's making things better. They keep telling us, suppose all these things are supposed to make us better. You know, I mean, what do we need to apply to a place like Memphis to make it better? Do we need more gay pride, maybe? Maybe if these good boys were all out doing man-on-man anal, they wouldn't be doing these crimes. What do we need to do? You know, the more, you know, the answers they give is just more of the same. More destruction, more nonsense. It's things just continue to get worse. I don't know. How long are they going to be able to keep selling people on the idea that somehow if we keep doing more of the same, things are going to get better? I don't know. I guess they got nothing else, like a one-trick pony. Nothing else. And of course, the big news. The big news was the queen died. The old queen. The queen of England. The Queen of England died. Now you get Prince Charles the Boomer King. I just said like a few minutes ago, I don't rag on boomers. But it is. I mean, Prince Charles. Now you get Prince Charles the Boomer King. And some people are saying he may be the last monarch. You know, he may do away with, you know, the whole monarchy thing in England. As a lot of people have pointed out, I mean, it just marks the passing of an era. It really does. I mean, when she came into being queen, you know, Britain was this huge big thing, and now it's a meme country, you know, and she just saw it off into the sunset. I'm not sure how much she could have actually done. People will be like, she didn't do anything to change. Well, I mean, what exactly could she have done, especially being a woman? I it would be kind of appropriate, I guess, you know, if Prince Charles the Boomer King goes ahead and just officially kills off the last tradition of the monarchy, maybe. I mean, nobody's expecting, like, Prince Charles to do something radical, for sure. So they get that, what a shame. You know, what a shame. Because, like, if somehow, like, I woke up and it's like, Dan, you are now the king of England, you know, and there's this whole foofy royal family nonsense. And it's like, we haven't heard anything from the new king of England yet. And it's like, I'm behind the scenes, you know, and like all of these corrupt nobles are turning up dead in mysterious circumstances, you know. And that like Liz Truss is in my throne room down on the floor begging, you know. people be thinking it's like the return of Lee Bon Wom, the old Joseon kings in Korea. You know, Jorda! He was a real bloody king, by the way, so you don't have to look it up. He was like a really bloody king, and he gained his power and held on to his power, cemented his power by basically killing everybody else that was opposed to his power. Shake the whole thing up. The democracy, it just, you know, you say goodbye to one of the, you know, basically really one of the, you know, there's still countries that have a monarchy system, but this was one of the big ones. This is the last, I guess you'd say, of the big ones. It's just kind of sad because monarchy, when it works, is so much better than this democracy crap they talk about. I mean, really, really, it is. They always try to create this like nightmare scenario in your head, and people get triggered. You know, they picture they have this, oh, you'd have this tyrannical king, and he'd rule his whole life and make your life miserable. Yes. Really, look around. Yes. Look around. How's life treating you under the democracy and our values of who we are? And there's nobody. I mean, this system is set up so that nobody's held accountable. At least under monarchy, the buck always stops at the monarch. And when I say monarchy, you have to understand it's a broad term. Whether you call it a dictatorship or whether you call it an authoritarian regime, it all comes down to the same thing. You know who's in charge. There's one guy at the top. He's in charge. Ultimately, he's the guy. So when you have that kind of system, the guy always has to kind of, you know, keep in mind that as the guy, you should try to make things at least sort of kind of work for the people. Otherwise, they all know who to get mad at. But you see, under the democracy system of who we are and our values of anal man on man, nobody's ever held responsible. You look at this. You look at Memphis. Why is Memphis a shithole? Who's responsible? Nobody knows. It's just, nobody knows. It's a mystery. We just have to keep doing more diversity. It's a feature. It's not a bug. This is the way this system is supposed to work. People do. They look at all of this horrible, like, state of all of these democracies of who we are in the West and act like something's breaking down with the system and it's not working correctly. It's working. This is what it does. You know, this is the end game of the system itself. But it's a system that is meant to breed corruption and hide those who are responsible. You know, and nobody ever held responsible. Things just get worse and worse, but nobody knows who to even blame. So now we're getting to the end game of all this as society just officially breaks down. I mean, it's undeniable. Undeniable. We watch society just falling apart. Look at this. I could have talked about this going around shooting random white people in Memphis. What if that becomes a new widespread thing? What's that going to mean? Are the police and government going to continue to operate as a force multiplier for those people? You know, I mean, really, you look at the way the system has been operating. You know, if the government and the media, and that is all one part of the same, you know, all different parts, I should say, of the same thing, you know, if they can find a way to frame, you know, say a white person defending themselves as some sort of act of racist hatred, then they will do so. So they're working as a full force multiplier. I mean, are they going to continue to be able to do that? I mean, where does this all... I don't know any of these answers, by the way. If you're sitting here waiting anxiously, tell me the answer. I don't know the answer. I know that we're just continuing to head into darker and darker places with this. I tell you, being sick or, you know, being down, I don't know how you'd call it. Being sick, recuperating. I tell you, it's rough. It's rough. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's a horrible thing. There's just things I went through that y'all like, how bad can it be? Bad can it be? Well, let me tell you something. Gentlemen, there's nothing more demeaning, I don't think, than having to, you go into the surgery, you go asleep. Yes, I'm getting off on a tangent. I had other things to continue talking about. Now I'm off over on this. But I got to tell you, you go in surgery, you wake up, and I'm rolling around here, I'm looking around, and I see it. There's a tube, and I lift the blanket, and they done stuck a catheter in me. Let me tell you something. It's nothing much more dehumanizing. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And then the next day, nurse comes in there, and she's like, you ready to get this catheters out? And it's like, oh, yeah, I am. I bet this isn't going to be fun. She's like, oh, well, I mean, it's better than getting it put in. And I kid you not. And it's just like, you know, there's just me in here. And there's one woman nurse comes in. And it's like, let me take a look here. Whips the deal. There it is. They're just... my poor old humiliated dingus, tube running out of it. Sitting there like, hey, I was trying to eat listening to the show. She's like, well, we'll go ahead and get this out. So she gets everything ready. And they have to drain stuff out of the thing and then get it ready. And I'm like, okay. And it's funny because I find myself holding up the blanket. And I looked at her and I said, this is funny. Because it's my own and I'm covering up like I don't want to see that. But yeah, you're on the other side just looking right at it. And I was in trouble when she said, when it came time to take it out, and she was like, you know, take a deep breath. And I see her like grab a wrap, you know, like when the bull riders are in the chute. It looked like she was fixing to buck out on Bodacious out of chute two. Let me tell you, she took a wrap out of that thing. She's like, take a deep breath. It's like, and then it's like seeing her nod to the guy to open the chute gate. And she's come bucking out. I about come up out of the bed. Horrible, horrible experience. And then she says, then after that, she's after telling me what would be worse, is worse getting it put in than taking out. And after all of this dehumanizing, humiliating, just overall disgusting experience, then she tells me, she says, well, it's real common after having one of these that you're not going to be able to go pee. And she says, if you can't get yourself to be able to go pee, we'll have to reinsert one. And drain the pressure and pull it back out until you are able to do that. And I looked at her. I kid you not. I'm not like exaggerating. I looked at her and I said, oh, I'm going to pee. We're not doing this again. I don't care if I got to squeeze myself like a grape. It's like wringing out a sponge. I don't give a shit. We're not doing this. It is horrible. Horrible. And I've had all this time, you know, I read news, you know, I mean, normal times, I read certain amount of, you know, quite a bit of news and different sources and opinion pieces and whatnot. Well, now, and needless to say, because I'm in this whole recuperating phase from things such as that, I have 5 stab marks in my abdomen, missing a part of my kidney, and I have more time. I have more time to sit around and I mean, read even more. And there's only so much of that. Like I said earlier, there's only so much of that you can do. You can stand. And you discover things. You could always discover new things on the internet. Usually not good things. Such as, I found out that guess what is apparently still a thing. In some circles, yes, Q is still going. I didn't know this. I thought this had gone away. I did see, like, here a while back, I saw a guy driving around with a car that had big, like, WWG, WGA, or whatever, you know, in his back in his back window, you know. But, I mean, this is like people unironically, you know, I don't know, talking about. I just didn't think about it. But, yes, it is apparently a thing. So I have to read this. What are the white hats up to these days? I haven't heard from you. Because the last I had heard from the Q camp was that President Trump was with a special Marine expeditionary unit overthrowing the Chinese Communist Party. And after they had taken over China, then he would have like a royal procession and be officially reinstated as the official president of the United States. Well, so it's like I'm playing catch up. Because I didn't know Q still was a thing, but apparently it's still floating around out there. Apparently now it's all kind of changed up a little bit. Now President Trump is working with Chairman Xi, you see, to work together to destroy the Chinese Communist Party. Why would, don't ask, because it has to be destroyed because it has the word communist in it. Chairman Xi is working with Trump to destroy the Chinese Communist Party. Because they can't have a party that runs the country well, you know, that has the word communist in it. That's bad. Doesn't get much worse than that. Biden has died, and they replaced him with an actor. You know, the Trump people have, because you know they got to draw out all of the deep state operatives so that they can take them out. And then I guess it always ends. All the Q stuff always ends with the same thing, you know. And then President Trump will enter Washington, D.C. with a royal procession and recognized as the true president of the United States. The true president of the United States. Having more time to look around and read more stuff on the internet has not increased my hope for humanity. You know. It really hasn't. I saw it ill, because it's not like I can just sit around and read politics. I can't do that. I mean, there's some people, that's all they want to do, you know. And I ask people, I said, well, what do you, you know, like, what do you watch or what do you do, you know, for entertainment? Listen to podcasts about politics. It's like, okay, what do? The same thing, Gano. You know, I watch Japanese subtitled anime or whatever the hell else. I mean, I got to have other things, something, unplug, you know. But, I mean, different things, you know, and my hope for humanity has not gotten better. I was watching, talking about Japanese subtitled anime. Trust me, this will be interesting. Bear with me through the story. So I was watching this, an episode of current anime here, a while back. And, you know, typical, you know, reincarnated in another world, blah, blah, blah. The world's more or less medieval. Anyway, the Black Death has appeared. You know, the plague has appeared in this medieval world, and our protagonist realized what a huge, disastrous thing this could be, you know, because you look at the historical implications of this, you know, when the Black Death, you know, swept through and basically wiped out half of the population of Europe. I mean, it's you know, obviously this big, deadly, dangerous thing. Anyway, and I'm reading through the commentary. And there are people unironically having this discussion, asking the question, which is worse, the Black Death or COVID? I kid you not. I mean, when I first saw one of these posts, I'm thinking, well, somebody being funny, you know, somebody being like, well, yeah, we don't have the Black Death, but, you know, we got this doom virus. But then I realized it wasn't a joke. It's not a joke. People really asking, what do you think is worse? The Black Death that, by all records, wiped out at least half the population of Europe, or COVID? Which, looking at the overall death numbers, well, until they introduced the vaccine, didn't change the overall death numbers, like, at all. what do you think is worse? I don't know. It's a hard guess. And then people are like, yeah, because, you know, sure, I mean, COVID hadn't killed as many people as Black Death, but that's because we have the science. It's because we had the science, and the science is what's kept us safe. You know, please point to what scientific thing has actually, you know, prevented the COVID, if it is so deadly, from wiping out half the population. You know, exactly what did the science do? What did the science do? You point to us exactly. Put people on respirators that killed them? This is, like I say, too much time on the internet makes me not have a lot of hope. A lot of hope for humanity. What could be worse? You think, which is worse? COVID or the Black Death? Talking about the COVID. I'm one of those people, doctors either really like me or hate me. It's true. Doctors really, really like me or hate me because I'm an engaged patient. And what I mean by that is not like I'm argumentative or I'm an asshole. It's like when a doctor says, well, we're going to do this, that, or the other. I want to understand what we're doing and why we're doing that. And I've got questions. And you know if you got a good doctor, whether or not they like you asking questions. Because a good doctor wants you to ask questions. They want you engaged. Because if you're engaged in the process, then down the road, if something doesn't work, you're going to be less likely to just point the finger and blame him because you were engaged in the process. You accept some ownership of the process. And I've seen both. I've seen doctors that were really just like, oh my gosh, there's a patient who actually wants to understand what's happening here and say yes or no, or, you know, give me and doesn't want just me to make the decisions for them. Most people sadly go in the doctor and they want the doctor to hold the hand and be their parent and make the decisions for them. I ain't that way. And some doctors really like that. They'll be like, good, I got to, you know, and you can see them get enthusiastic. Great, it's having a patient. And then you got other doctors that like get offended. You know, and they're like, how dare you question my sovereign authority? I have a white jacket, damn it. You see both kinds. I'm an engaging patient. And like I say, it doesn't mean I'm argumentative or you know, but I mean, I want to know what's going on. I don't take everything they say as though it's coming down out of a cloud with a bright light coming out of it. If something's bullshit, it's bullshit. You know, if they say, well, you can do this, that, or, you know, that means they're going to do it to me. When a doctor says, well, what we can do, what he means is what he can do to you, because he ain't going to be getting it. And if it's something that, you know, I'll tell him, I'm like, you know, no, I'm not doing that. Oh, well, normally I'm not doing that. We're just not. What's the next question? But anyway, it's funny, though, because I remembered this from the COVID thing. Because with the COVID thing, see, it's all tied in. With the COVID thing, you know, they had all these different things. Remember, they were converting distilleries to make hand sanitizer. Remember all of that? And people running around. And they were coming up with all these different things. And I remember one of the things they came up with was this stuff to help stop spread the COVID. And it basically all it was alcohol on a spray bottle. You put it on a Q-tip and rub it around the inside of your nose. Y'all probably remember this. And you rub it around the inside of your nose. And the idea was that, you know, if you breathe the COVID in, it would hit the alcohol that somehow didn't instantly evaporate out of your nostrils and would help kill the COVID and help stop the spread. There were all of these products they came up with and marketed because they do it in the name of this deadly virus that was going around, probably worse than the Black Death. And I remember that. Well, I'm getting ready to get out and they're giving me all my stuff to take home, you know, different stuff. And they bring this stuff in and they said, this is a product to help, you know, protect you from being, you know, from your surgery, you know, from infection, from your surgery. I'm like, oh, okay, what is it? Well, you spray this on your Q-tip. You see where I'm going with this. And you swap it around the inside of your nose. I'm like, okay. And that way, if like, it basically, I'm like, well, how's that got anything to do with my surgery? And the answer was basically, if I was sitting around picking my nose and then decided to, I don't know, finger one of the five abdomen stab wounds that I've got, I will be less likely to infect. I'm sitting there laughing. And I'm not going to lie. The guy's just doing his job. You know, the nurse is just doing their job trying to get me out of there. And I'm just like, whatever, you know. But it's just laughing. I'm sitting there laughing. I'm like, y'all ain't fooling nobody. Y'all bought a bunch of this shit during COVID, and now you got to unload it. You're trying to unload it without losing money. Yeah, it's like, we got this great thing to keep your kidney surgery from getting infected. What is it? It's just alcohol you put on your nose. Like, I already know. That's crap from COVID. Y'all all left over with that shit. That's probably why there's still like some places are mandating masks. I've been going to all these different doctor's offices and hospitals, and you go in some and they don't, you know, but you go in others and they're still mandating masks. Got to wear the mask. And they have boxes of those masks sitting out there. You got to take one. I'm thinking, you know, maybe they just bought a bunch of masks and they're just trying to get rid of them now. You know, they can write this off. They can write it off. I don't know. A lot of opportunity to read a lot of different things. I'm looking here. We got to get into the Christian specific segment. I'm running long because we missed a week. I missed talking with y'all. I'm reading different things. I was following a link to a story, and it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I see the title of this opinion piece, and that just sounded, I don't even remember what it was. And let me tell you something, and this holds true. I click on this article to read this opinion piece, this well thought out opinion piece, and I don't even know what it said, because in the first paragraph I'm reading blah 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 America blah 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 Judeo-Christian values. Stop. I just close out right then. Doesn't matter what the rest of it says, because if somebody's coming from the standpoint of Judeo-Christian anything, then they have no idea what the hell they're even talking about. It doesn't matter what else the whole rest of the article has to say. When I'm reading something, if I hit Judeo-Christian, I can stop. It's a time saver for me. I appreciate it. It's a time saver because I can hit an arc. I'm trying reading all this different stuff. It's a time saver. When I hit Judeo-Christian, I know I can go ahead and stop right there. I don't need to read any further because this person is already starting from a standpoint. You know, whatever they have to say afterwards, if they're starting from a standpoint of America was founded as a Judeo-Christian nation, we can stop there because they're already starting with a false premise and they're trying to build upon a false premise. I don't need to read anything else. These shortcuts. See, these are life hacks. These are life hacks I'm sharing with you. If you go to read an article, if you hit Judeo-Christian, you could just save yourself some time. Don't bother reading the rest and wondering, is it true or not? Because it's bullshit. If they hit Judeo-Christian, that's the eject button. You don't need to read the rest. See, it's a life hack. If you read something and it's like the, and you realize it's a Q thing, you can go ahead and you can go ahead and bail out. Speaking of bailing out, we got to bail out of this part of the portion of the show. We got to get into the Christian specific segment. No, y'all been waiting. I've been waiting. Let's get it going here without further ado. You know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. This week, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to read from the New International Version. And the reason being is because I'm reading a little more subject matter, a little more content than I normally do. And this is going to help get through it. And you can read both translations I have. And for our particular reading today, it isn't going to affect anything. And I think it'll just kind of move things along a little quicker so that we can get to the point. And maybe you won't fall asleep listening to me drone on and read. Now, what we're going to read today is going to be 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 22-40. Now you have this situation where the Israelites, the nation of Israel, has been led astray. They've got a total crap king. This Jezebel queen he's married to, you know, she's brought in these foreign gods. She's brought in Baal and has had the prophets and the priests of the Lord persecuted and a bunch of them killed and slaughtered. And so you're basically down to Elijah. Elijah's like the last prophet of the Lord left on the face, and they're trying to kill him. Now he comes out, Elijah shows himself, and he basically throws down a challenge. You know, he throws down a challenge and tells him to come. I'm out here on this mountain. And he throws this challenge down. And at first, he tells the people, he's like, look, you know, the people in general. He tells the people, you need to pick. If y'all want to go off and worship Baal, then that's it. Just go do that. But quit trying to claim that, oh, well, the Lord is our God, too, because of our old stories where he delivered us and gave us this land and blah, blah, blah. But we also want to worship Baal. You can't have it both ways. He's like, pick one. Pick one or the other. And it says after he throws this down, the people just remain silent, which is where we'll go ahead and pick up and start reading. Then Elijah said unto them, I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I'll prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. What you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. O Baal, answer us, they shouted, and there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. This is my favorite part of the story here, by the way. Well, second part, favorite part. Anyway, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. He began to mock them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy. Maybe he's traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. He's making fun of them now. Remember, there's a huge crowd of people witnessing all of this happening. So they shouted louder, slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all of these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil. And he also licked up all the water licked up all the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. So there's the happy ending. Now, as so often would be the case, you may be thinking, well, you know, great story, you know, has a happy ending. More actually, it doesn't. It's a really, I've always found that story interesting. You read the background of the story and the after effects of the story and everything going. We're obviously not getting into that today. You know, and it's like you see this, just imagine if you were to witness a huge fire come down and just do all of just, it burns up even the rocks. It consumes the rocks, the dirt, You know, I mean, everything is just like when it was done, forget the water, forget the meat of the bull that was thrown up there. Everything was consumed. It was just like glass. Everything had been consumed by this fire. And shortly thereafter, in a short time thereafter, Elijah's running and hiding for his life again. You know, I mean, it's just like all of that. And there he is just a short time later having to run for his life again because anyway, but the whole, it is an interesting story, but what got me thinking about it, because of course, obviously what we're trying to do here is think about these things and in the context of our own lives and the world around us. You know, as we go through our own struggle. And it's sad that so many Christian believers, you know, they discount this stuff. They skip over it. They don't think it's relevant. They don't think it's relevant to their lives or the world around them today. But it is. It is. My favorite part of the story of this account is when it comes around noontime, and obviously you've got 450 guys who've showed up, the prophets of Baal. You got Elijah out here, and you can imagine the guy's been hiding out. You know, I mean, he probably looked like a homeless person. You know, and you've got these 450 prophets of Baal, and they're out there, and they've been putting on a show, and ain't nothing happening. And Elijah starts, this is my favorite, Elijah starts taunting him. He starts mocking him. He's sitting up there. You know, maybe your God's asleep. You know, hey, maybe he's on a journey. Maybe you need like ring him up and see, you know, hey, where you at? I need you to come down here and you know, set a little spark down here. You know, set a little spark. Maybe some lightning or something, just something, you know, maybe get some kind of fire. I don't even see any smoke. What are y'all doing? And he starts mocking them, starts making a mockery because this has been, they had replaced the worship of the Lord. They'd replaced the Lord as their God with this Baal worship. And most of you are probably familiar what all that entailed. It wasn't just simply bowing down before some weird idol or something. There was all sorts of disgusting degeneracy that went along with that. But he's making fun of them, and they get more frantic. You know, they start getting more frantic. They start cutting themselves, just stabbing themselves. They start doing self-harm, and blood's running off of them, and they're slinging their arms around, blood's flying, and, oh, Baal, and ain't nothing happening. Starts making a mockery. They'd made this essentially the religion of the people. They'd replaced the Lord with a new thing. This new religion, this new, I don't know, this new worship, this new institutions, this new thing. But he just made a mockery of them. I was thinking about how we look at things around us today. And, you know, for so long, so many people, and sadly, I'm talking about a lot of people who are self-professed Christian believers. For years, the ugly truth is they have replaced the Lord as their real God. They've replaced him with these other things. The founding fathers, the Constitution, the military, the police, the flag. You have these, you know, before you get bristly and defensive about that, I mean, really, think about it. You're going to have people stand up and blaspheme the name of the Lord in public, and these people might grumble about it and bite their lip or whatever, but that's probably about it. But somebody goes up and what, makes a show out of ripping the flag down and trampling on it or something, and oh, by golly, you're not trampling on my flag. You know how many of our heroes had to die for that flag, but see, they're more offended. Replaced the Lord with these other things. They don't ask, is this latest military expedition a righteous cause? Is this something for the Lord? You know, do we need to pray so that the Lord will bless our efforts and we will have successful? Because that's what they did back in those days. They wanted the Lord with them when they went out on a military confrontation. No, because we can do this. American exceptionalism. We can do this. We're America. Our troops can do it. God doesn't need any glory. Our boys need the glory. They've done it. Our system, our constitution, it's all, and you see it like when they talk about January 6th and the media will talk about to these politicians about the sacred, like the holy halls of Congress. It's not a temple. It's a den of thieves. It's like this den of corruption. It's not some holy temple. Again, for a lot of self-professed Christians, the reality is they're like the people of Israel in our story here. They're still trying to hold on to the Lord thing, but they're really also doing the Baal worship. You know, they want to worship these ideas they have in their head. You know, the America, basically, all these different aspects of America that they've idolized in their minds, regardless of the reality of it, by the way. They've created this idolized version in their minds. And they want to actually worship those things, but at the same time, they put on a show. They might go to church on Sundays and make a show out of that. They're like the people of Israel. And just like Elijah, you step up and say, look, pick one or the other. Pick one or the other. You know, I mean, it's not that hard. Don't keep claiming, though, that you're a Christian believer and you're serving the Lord, God Almighty, when you're also really in your heart, you're submitting, bowing, and worshiping another God, a false God. Now, what I find funny here is if you view, you know, kind of overlay it and view these things together in this context, we're at the point now, because things are getting so clownish and stupid, we're at the point now that it's like where Elijah starts mocking them and taunting them and making fun of them. You know, that's where we're at right now, because all of these institutions are getting more and more absurd. They're getting more, really, I mean, take the military, for instance. You know, bless our military. I'll tell you what. You have people sit there and say, act like, you know, oh, they really are, you know, this government has gotten so bad. Of course, I usually think it's just because the wrong faction of the Uniparty is allegedly in power at the time. But by golly, not the military. They act like the military is not a part of the government. It was like that whole same thing of, you know, they'll take my gun when they pry from my cold dead finger. Well, if they decide to take your gun, you know, I mean, who do you think they're going to send? Don't talk to me about that. I support the police. I got this American flag with the blue stripe in my window. You know, I back law enforcement. Well, who do you think they're coming to take your gun? I mean, if they were to decide to do that, who are they sending? You're going to have to make a choice here. The military is there. God bless our military. Pray for our troops. If you like your freedom, think of that. So on and so forth ad nauseum. And now they see these pictures. I see these pictures where here's their troops wearing their camos, walking around, you know, that picture that was going around several years back where they're walking around in their high heels and their pink high heels so that, you know, they can get a feel for gender equality. Your manly troops, and they're having to wear the pregnant belly so that they can, you know, empathize with what a woman feels like when she's pregnant. And we're at the point of mockery. Yell a little louder. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's on a vacation. Hey, the military's lost another war in a most embarrassing way fashion. Maybe we need a bigger war. Call a little louder. Start cutting yourselves and stabbing yourselves and blood flowing out. Maybe he'll show up. Maybe he'll light the fire. I will say it again. Too many Christians in this country have tried to worship Baal and the Lord at the same time. They've tried to serve two gods. I would phrase that a better way. They have tried to serve two gods. They really hold, because really, I mean, worship means, you know, what you submit your heart to, who you submit your heart to, you know, bowing down, submitting that which you hold in reverence. You know, it encompasses a lot of things. And I'll say it again, too many Christians have been worshiping another God. But yeah, they're still trying to, you know, they show up to church on Sunday for an hour and try to also do that too. like as a tradition, just like as the Israelites were. You know, they still try to hold on to that Lord thing, but mostly they like this new thing. And now God's making a mockery of it. And there's no other way to look at it. I mean, these institutions are failing and they're getting more and more ridiculous. They're getting more and more absurd. It's getting more and more stupid. They continue to, everything continues to go downhill. It's like we are at the mockery stage of it now. It's becoming an utter and contemptible, you know, a laughingstock, a joke. It's funny because you'll see people, you know, if there's a, say an online conversation or even IRL conversation and somebody's, you know, we have all of this geopolitical strife and such, and the U.S. is doing everything they can to, you know, they're promoting these proxy wars, and somebody will say, you know, well, if Russia and China just call their bluff, U.S. and you see these people and they will get all the, Russia and China, no, they don't want to mess with America. Even though, you know, yes, at any minute, the fire is going to light. This is, cut yourself a little more blood flow, yell a little louder. China and Russia, they don't want to mess with America. We got the, I tell you what, our military is the mightiest, strongest military on the face of the planet, buddy. Yeah. Yell a little louder. That fire is going to light off. It's going to light off at any minute. I just have to wonder how far this similarity will carry through. I do. I wonder how long the parallel, I'll get it spit out in a minute. How long the parallel, how far down the road this parallel will take us. All we can do is watch and see. But you have to wonder if the parallel goes long enough, then we'll see the fire get lit and all consumed. God, when he says, you're not supposed to have any other gods besides me. I mean, he means that. Well, these aren't suggestions. These aren't, look, he's like, this is what's required. I created all of this that you know, this existence. You look around and just soak it in for a minute that you are alive. When you feel something, you're feeling that with your hand. That it exists as you feel it, as you touch it, the air you breathe. The things you see, these sensations of being alive, you are experiencing those right now in this moment. And this moment is gone and it'll never be again. God created all of that, created the world around you. Now, he is the only God you are to worship. Not the latest trendy thing, not the latest fashionable thing. He is it. Everybody else might be going chasing after, you know, the late, oh, here, these people, they've got this new religion. It's the latest thing. That's not supposed to be for you. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Just worry about yourself. But for the Christian believer, it's really important. And as we get ready to wrap up here, you know, to always just guard your heart. Guard your heart. It's fine. Look, I'm not saying you can't. Well, I wouldn't with our current thing. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with having pride in your nation. Pride, you know, if your institutions are functioning well, have pride in those things. You know, take pride in those things and in the accomplishments of your people and things such as that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you've always got to be on guard. You've always got to guard your heart and remember to keep these things in perspective. You cannot bow your heart down to an institution, a creation of man himself. You can't have any other gods, only the Lord Almighty. And it gets real tempting for people to get off track with that and start raising things above a level that they should. But it is interesting. Like I say, we look around as things continue to collapse and fall apart. That it just reminded me of Elijah standing up there dancing around, yelling and laughing and making fun of the prophets of Baal as they're frantically just, you have 450 of them out there, and there's one guy is up there just laughing at him, making fun of him as it all just becomes a mockery. And you look at it, like I say, with these institutions, it's just dawned on me. It's like God is making a mockery of these things that too many people have turned into a false god. We're going to go ahead and get on out of there. Thank you for bearing with me this week. I'm putting on my A game, but, you know, understandably so, you know, not to justify myself, but I think I kind of have an excuse. Hopefully we'll get flowing and things, and it'll continue to get better. But I am glad. It is great to be back this week, and I am great that you all came to join us here. And we'll be back, of course, next week for the Parish of the Patriots.